Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Don't sweat the technique. Live in the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees. Now back to Joel and Jeremy.
Let's go straight out to the HR&P guest line. We're being joined by the great Bussin' Mark Berman. I like that sound, that song too. Well done, Brian. Mark, I didn't want you on the air to, like, you know, talk about the former greatness that you had or because you're relevant. Really, the reason that I wanted you on, Mark, was because I saw you at the Fertitta Center the other day, and you called me at all hours of the night, but you didn't come say hello. Like, I wanted to confront you over the phone and say, Mark, what's up with that?
You know, that's a good point. I was with my daughter and my grandson, and I did have a they did give me a credential, and that's a my bad on that one. Okay. I was dealing with them and talking to a few other people, and you're right. I should have come over there and busted your chops. Now you're busting mine.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I would have preferred the former as opposed to the latter. But what do you think about the Cougars? I know that you're invested. It marches here. They play Baylor tomorrow, then the conference tournament, then the big dance. The tournament begins in a couple of weeks. What do you think of this year's squad that Kelvin Sampson has?
Well, I think they're like everybody else. You know, I'm obviously on the outside looking in. I'm not there every day anymore, but they're really good. They're incredibly well coached, top to bottom, and they got a lot of depth. And I think they got a really good chance. I mean, you know, it takes a lot of different things to make the run and win it all. You've got to have some luck involved, got to stay healthy, all those cliches. But, I mean, they're really good. They do a lot of great things well. And, Kelvin can coach them to win it. They can execute. I think they can do a lot of good things.
Scoop, I mean, it's the opposite of Jeremy. You don't call. You don't write. You know, we don't talk like we used to when we used to see each other in the hallways. But I'm curious because of, you know, how everything changes, and now you have walked away from your everyday grind of it. What do you miss the most? Because, you know, a lot of people miss those interactions and the kind of behind-the-scenes stuff and the stuff that, I mean, look, you're a legend in this town for a reason, and people built relationships with you regardless of the new side of it. But what do you, having stepped away from it now for a period of time, what do you miss the most?
Well, I mean, I'm a little uncomfortable with that legend stuff. I don't know about all that, but
well, it's true.
Okay. Well, it's hard to say what I. It's more easy for me to say what I don't miss, and what I don't miss is being worried 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
7 days a week. The last 10 years and 5 months at Fox, I was by myself there, and so I really just didn't have a single day off. Because even when I was off, I wasn't off. You know how that goes.
Mm-hmm.
What I miss the most is kind of what you said, that, you know, the interaction with guys like yourself and Jeremy, the camaraderie with some of the people in the media, and a lot of camaraderie with the coaches and athletes, the lawyers, the agents, the coaches, you know, all that stuff. You know, you build relationships. It's hard to walk away. But let me tell you something right now. When you walk away like I did, you become irrelevant really quickly. And that's fine. That's just kind of part of it.
No. You're not irrelevant,
no, yeah, you
Mark.
Do.
No, yeah. You're not irrelevant you're to not. Us.
Okay. All right. I mean, that's what I. Whatever. I mean, I do. I mean, I miss. You know, you see some stories that break, and you feel like if I was working, I could have been involved and got in the middle of all that stuff. And you see stories that break that I know I would have gotten my rear end kicked on, and real upset on the couch, and not having to worry about getting clobbered. Because, I mean, every day is something new, you know that.
Bussin, Mark Berman joining us on the HRNP guest line. I'm trying to think of some of the hot topics that I want your takes on, Mark Berman. How close do you think the Houston Texans are to winning a Super Bowl?
I don't have a clue. I mean, you know, I think it's what everybody else knows. If they could do a better job of blocking for that great quarterback they have, and if they can stay healthy, find ways to replace guys like Tank Dell and things like that.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got a pretty darn good defense. They've done a great job there. I mean, C.J. Stroud, he's clearly a tremendous talent. He's just got to have the time to do what he's got to do.
So you think offensive lineman at 25, or do you think, like, receiver help at 25?
Well, I don't know. Sounds like both. Certainly offensive line.
Well, you can't get both at 25, Mark. You gotta pick one.
Do what now?
You gotta pick one at 25. You don't get two picks at 25. You only get one. If you had to go receiver or offensive line today.
First pick of the draft, you mean?
No, pick 25. Texans have the 25th pick. So their first pick of the draft.
Yeah.
If you had to go with an offensive lineman or receiver, who would you pick if you were Nick Caserio?
I'm trying to think. There's some cliches I've always heard about drafting. Do you pick a receiver with the first pick in the draft? I would say an offensive lineman.
Yeah. Caserio's kind of stayed away from the receiver in the first round thing, so you're probably onto something.
I think so. I think that's right. But I don't know if there's sometimes it's your best player available, all that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But I would say an O lineman, if there's one out there worthy of that pick. And I don't know that there's a receiver. I was never that knowledgeable in the draft to begin with, and I'm certainly not now.
Scoop, I'm curious from the media perspective when you look at this, and I know that we used to always talk about like guys, you know, who like yourself, we would break stories and guys wanting to get credit for stories that they broke. But where media is right now, everybody's got a podcast. Everybody's got, you know, a Twitter account. Everybody's got ways to which they can tell their own story. And in most cases, before anybody from the media can get their hands on it. And it's a far cry from kind of like the heat of the battle for you. Is it too much? Are we in a good spot with it? Or is it a dangerous spot to be in with everybody doing everything whenever they want?
Well, I mean, it's really hard when you've got athletes breaking their own stories. That's what you're referring to. All these different players having these different ways of putting things out there, Instagram, podcasts. You know, it's crazy. It's craziness. I found that to be very difficult to deal with toward the end when I decided to retire. But, you know, I think among the things that were really crazy for me and trying to keep tabs of was from college athletic NIL, the portal, was an absolute nightmare. Just a nightmare, and it's just changed everything. Very, very hard to cover. Very difficult when college athletes are having their own agents now, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. It's just like the pro ranks. But yeah, I don't know if it's dangerous, but it's very hard for a local reporter to keep on top of everything. Almost impossible.
Yeah, the news cycle is a lot different. And I think you are on something about it being professional. Like, I think that we kind of have to recondition our thoughts on amateur athletics and what college athletics are in parallel to that. They're not. Like, they're much closer to pro sports than they are amateur sports. And I'm okay with that. And I think if you condition your mind and people condition their mind to being okay with it, then it's perfectly acceptable. Astros are out in West Palm Beach. I saw you retweet something earlier today. Mark, you can follow Mark on Twitter at @MarkBerman_. I've told Blankers and I've confessed my love again for Lance McCullers. I'm all in, Mark. I'm all in on Lance McCullers. He's broken my heart several times. That's okay. I'm falling in love with him again. Do you think Lance McCullers helps the Astros this year?
Well, I would say he's only broken your heart because he got hurt.
That's right. I was hurt.
When he's healthy, he's really good. I mean, really good. I love the guy. Always have. And, I have no idea where he's at physically. I retweeted Brian McTaggart, who I love to follow, covering, he does a great job, best job covering the Astros. He tweeted that Lance threw again today, I guess it was. And if they can get him back and he can be his normal self, my goodness, that's a huge boost to their rotation. They've got, you know, we all know what they've lost. We all know what they've gained. But, you know, the Astros, under Jim Crane's watch, they've always found ways to replace the guys who left for whatever reason. They've done a great job. Look at the run they've been on. Absolutely historic. I think people take it for granted. It's ridiculous what they've done there. I mean, just ridiculous. Incredible. Two World Series titles. They've been there four times. Went to the playoffs all the consecutive years. I think they got a chance this year. I don't know what the West is going to be like. Looks like Oakland's going to be better, right? I think they got like the Cougars. I think they got a great chance. I think Joe Espada might have got Joe Espada. I believe his job last year was very underrated. I know people might roll their eyes at this, but if you think about what he went through early in the year in May and June, he did manager of the year type stuff early on that kept that team in the position to make a run, which they did. Didn't last as long as they hoped, but he did a great job.
Scoop, I'm curious with how long and illustrious the career was, but we talk about those personal relationships, and sometimes even a guy like Lance McCullers, you pull for him because he's a good dude, because you know that at the end of the day, he's a really good guy, and we both, all three of us, have dealt with guys that were good guys and some that weren't. But from your perspective, are there 3 to 5 guys that you were always, you know, regardless of your job aspect of this, that you were always pulling for or were your favorites just because of those kind of relationships?
Yeah, but I mean, I'm hoping you don't push me to start naming names because then you leave somebody out. There's always, you have to remember, I covered sports in Houston for 43 years, 37 at Fox. And at different eras, there were different guys that I got. You know, you get close to some guys you never get close to, that kind of thing. But yeah, there are a number of guys that are playing right now that from where I sit, I love watching them play. I want to see them be successful. But from a team standpoint, growing up, being in Houston, not supposed to be a fan, I'm supposed to be impartial, but I wanted the teams that I covered and the players that I covered, I wanted every one of them to make every dollar they could make and to win. That's the way, I mean, I had to be impartial on the air, but now I don't have to be. I can do anything I want. I want to see the Astros, Rockets, and Texans, Cougars, Rice, TSU, everybody have great, great years. And they can't always do that, but I guarantee you, I'm a Houston guy, and I'm pulling for him, I promise you. Prairie View A&M, Houston Christian, all those places.
Yeah, when you come to Fertitta, you stay on one side of the floor, I've learned. Mark Berman joining us on the HRNP guest line. Mark, you were honored in City Hall a few years ago. Sylvester Turner passing away a few days ago as well. What did he mean for you, and what was y'all's relationship like?
Well, you got to understand how far we went back. We're talking 50 years. I lived on the same floor with him at Moody Towers on the University of Houston campus for a year. I think it was my freshman year, 74 to 75. Now, we didn't hang out a lot, but I knew him. He was on my floor. He was 4 or 5 doors down, and I knew him. And then he went off to bigger and better things, went to Harvard Law. I couldn't walk on Harvard's campus, much less go to school there. They wouldn't let me on. I didn't have a good enough SAT score. But I've told this story a few times. It bears repeating now. A couple of years after I graduated from the University of Houston, I was working at Kick Radio, and I dialed 411. You don't do that anymore, obviously, to get information, a phone number of some sort, and the operator says, operator. So I said what I wanted, and the guy goes, how you doing, Hempstead? Well, I'm from Hempstead, Texas, in my first year at University of Houston. I was homesick. So every weekend I went home, so the kids started calling me Hempstead. And I go, who the heck is this? It was Sylvester Turner working as an operator for Bell Telephone. Think about how far this man has come. And then, I kept in touch a little bit with him as his political career grew. And then when he became mayor, none of my phone numbers were good for him anymore, so I called one of his staffers, hoping he'd get back to me. He called back the next day. And I said, look, what do I call you? I call you Sylvester. Do I call you Sly? That's what we used to call him, Sly. We call you Sly. Do I call you Mr. Turner? Do I call you Mayor? What do I call you? He goes, anything you want. That was Sylvester Turner. And I tweeted some video that my daughter took from the day that they honored me along with two of my former colleagues at Fox, Jose Guignan and Jonathan Martin. I was retiring. Jose was retiring. Jonathan was moving on. And when Sylvester was talking about me in front of city council, he turned around and pointed at my grandson and said, where's my friend Jackson? Now, think about that for a second. He calls out my son, finds him in the crowd, points at him. He was 11 years old at the time. You think he'll never forget that? Never. I mean, that just doesn't happen. And he knew my family a little, but not much. But that's just the kind of guy he was. And, listen, we were friends. He knew me. He trusted me. He helped me on countless stories, which, of course, I'm selfish. That was a big deal. I worked with him very closely when he died, and I read the news. When you're in our business, it takes a while for things to sink in because it just, I don't know, you're kind of jaded. And after a while, when I went back to Fox, they wanted me to come in and talk about it. I went back to Fox, walked in the studio, and there were pictures of him, and it really hit me. It was a kick in the gut. I mean, I knew the guy before he was Sylvester Turner. He was fine. So, yeah, he meant a lot to me. I thought he meant a lot to Houston. He was very important to sports in our city. You know, he was a big reason. Jim Crane and Giles Kibbe, his attorney over there, executive VP of Astros, were the reasons why the golf tournament Houston Open, Texas Children's Houston Open is here, but Sylvester Turner played a monster role in that as well.
No doubt, Mark, and it goes back to kind of brings full circle what we were talking about. It's like, forget what side of the aisle you are on politically. He was a good guy because any of us that have had any kind of interactions with him realized, look, he had a big heart, he was a friendly man, and he had the best interest of the city, especially when it came to the sports teams, and that's something you'll never forget.
I think so. I think all across the board. I tell you what, he was a big UH guy. I guarantee you that.
Yeah, he was. Mark, we really appreciate you taking the time. We'll talk to you next Friday, okay?
Look in your box. There'll be a bill.
I knew you'd say that. All right, Mark, we appreciate you coming on. Bussin' with Berman. Yeah, you send him some tweets, okay, Houston? At Mark Berman _. And say that you loved having him on the air and you want him to be on all the time with the Killer Bees. Let him know how much you love him, okay? All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRNP listener line. Have you started to see this conversation about service time manipulation when it comes to Cam Smith? Is that legit? It is the Bees, 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? No? Then download it now in your app store. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. So they're starting to talk service time manipulation when it comes to Cam Smith, Blankers. Schwab got into it with Astros Muse. Two heavyweights going toe-to-toe. Muse was talking about the year of control, so valuable, especially with our history, Astros' history of not paying guys. And then Schwab, fans blatantly agreeing with service time manipulation is wild to me. It doesn't matter how much control the team has if they sign Smith to a long-term contract within his first few years. Okay, so where do you stand on the service time manipulation, blah, 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 blah?
I mean, I think we all pretty much came to the agreement right off the top. I just don't think he's going to start the season with the big league club. I know in the past this has been an issue. So I think Springer was the biggest poster child for this. Bregman kind of to some degree. I just think it's a different regime. I just think you're dealing with a different general manager. And I think from a Crane standpoint, what they've shown you is what they've done with Jordan, what they wanted to do. They tried to do it with Tucker. But, you know, it looks like you may never have to worry about that, or at least in the situations where you have good players, I don't think they're going to worry about it nearly as much because, you know, Dana's even come out and said, look, for my time in Atlanta, when we knew we had good players, we tried to wrap them up early, tried to get deals done where you avoid this. So I think maybe some people still like have PTSD from the Springer situation or some of the past, but I'm not as concerned about it. And look, if he can play and he's playing at this level, which is, again, people are getting a little overly enamored, but it's great to watch. I think that you would like to have him on your roster at some point this year. I just don't think he's going to start the season.
Yeah, I don't know how much of this like service time manipulation and Cam Smith really correlates a whole lot. Like, I think it's – like, if the Astros start Cam Smith, and I predict that they will, in the minors – whether it doesn't really matter if it's double A or triple A, like it doesn't matter. Like they're developing the player, he's not in the big league, so you're manipulating his service time. If Cam Smith is sit down to the minors, they're in no way is that service time. I don't care if he hits 1,000 in spring training. I don't care if his slugging percentage is 4,000 in spring training, which would be pretty impressive. But he's only had five games above the single A level. He played 15 games in A ball. He played 12 games in A plus ball. He played five games above that with the Double A, the Tennessee Smokies. Five games. He's had 20 plate appearances above A ball. If the Astros send him down, regardless of what he does during spring training, in no way is that manipulating Cam Smith's service time. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, manipulating service time is smart. It's a smart thing to do. Like, do you want Cam Smith here for an extra year? Like, he's currently 22 years old, right? And, like, let's make the assumption he makes his debut this year. I think it's a fair assumption to make. Like, I don't think it's a guarantee, but let's say it's a fair assumption to make that he makes his big league debut this year at the age of 22. Cool. If you save a year, that means he's here all the way into his late 20s. You get him for his 22nd year, and then 6 years on top of that, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, as opposed to losing him when he's 27. So do you want an extra year out of Cam Smith if you had to make the decision right now? I think we would all say yes. People always point back to the George Springer saga, and some people think that that had like an influence in him leaving. I don't really think that. I'm not saying that I'm right, but I think it was more about the Astros not giving Springer the contract or beating the contract that he got with Toronto. Would you have rather had George Springer in all of 2014 when the Astros won 70 games, or would you rather him be on the 2020 team that went to the ALCS? The answer is obvious here. So, like, one, it's stupid to even throw out the word service time manipulation with Cam Smith when the dude has five games above A-ball. And then secondly, I am a fan of service time manipulation. I know that's anti-player, that's pro-team. A lot of people don't like that because now you're pro-owner. I'm sorry. I want an extra year of Cam Smith.
No, and you're right. Look, I think you just – it's a business. We keep saying this. In a variety of different ways, it's a business. You hate to think about it as a fan, but it's a business. And at the end of the day, if you got a guy that you know is a talent – I think that you have to make smart business decisions until there's a time when you have to face what we've already faced with a lot of these guys that are talented when they walk out the door, in the case now with Kyle Tucker, where you decided you had to trade him because you weren't going to re-sign him. And I think to your point earlier, the thing that I would point to, too, is, look, you took a guy like Luis Garcia that had never been over A-ball, and suddenly he got to the major leagues. But it's easier as a pitcher, because as a pitcher, you know, the entire major leagues hasn't seen you, but, you know, you can kind of get in there and find a niche. And we've seen a lot of Astros pitchers be able to do that. But when you talk about a hitter, and you talk about a hitter that's going to be playing every day, it's the fielding, it's the hitting, it's seeing pitching at that level consistently every single day. And it's so much more difficult, I think, than trying to do it as a pitcher, too. And so with limited experience in the minor leagues, the kids, it's impressive what he's doing, but you also don't want to push him too fast to where it can have a negative effect on the rest of his career.
I think it's possible. I've never really put a whole lot of thought on, like, is it easier for a pitcher or hitter to go? Like, I've never really thought about that. I imagine both things are very difficult. Let's not forget that 2020 was the COVID year. Like, Luis Garcia, if COVID didn't happen, Luis Garcia doesn't pitch in 2020. Like, that was the COVID year where they had zero debt. Like, they couldn't sign free agents. They had to bring everybody into camp if they wanted to be, like, on the team or the taxi squad. They were bringing in a bunch of randos. And it is – I'm not taking away what Luis Garcia did. That was very, very impressive. But he wouldn't have been on that path that 2020 would have been normal. Like, we kind of lose sight of that a little bit. And what he did was incredibly impressive. There's no doubt about that. Texter, so he is the guy. Cam is a star. He's about to light the majors up. Boy, I hope so. I really do. I hope that he's USS Cam Smith and he's the best baseball player ever. I hope he turns into Albert Pujols. I don't want to use that word. Some of the, like, putting him on a pedestal that we've seen this early in a career kind of worries me. Like, it scares me a little bit. Not that I think he's a bad player. He's not going to, you know, live up to the hype. I just hate being the type of person that oversells and underdelivers. So everybody's talking Cam Smith's going to be this star. He's going to be better than Kyle Tucker. Like, what if he's just big league average? Like, it makes me a little uncomfortable. Makes me a little uncomfortable putting him on this pedestal with playing five games above single A.
I think it's a very, very delicate line to tiptoe when you're trying to say that because a guy's off to a start like this, that he is destined for stardom. And I think that, you can find guys, and look, Milwaukee's trying to do it, and you might get burned by it. When you see a guy get off to a start like this, Milwaukee has a small market team, they're now trying to lock these guys down to 10-year deals right away at pretty significant money. And all it takes is one or two of those things to go south and a guy not live up to it. And then you could find yourself in some trouble. But I think that, yeah, there's always going to be, you know, the success stories, but there's also going to be a chance for failure. And you've got to be careful when you kind of toe that line, because
yeah,
that's why I don't want to see him accelerated too fast, too quickly. This kid is barely out of, you know, his high school or his Florida State days, right? We're talking about, oh, he's, you know, he's handling this and he's such a good disposition. He's a good kid. But he hasn't hardly felt what it's going to be like, whether if you have a bad night and the media comes at you, or, you know, you're facing these pitchers that you've never seen before that are the best pitchers on the planet.
Right.
There's a lot still to be figured out with him.
Yeah, he does meditate before games. I meditate before shows, so I do love that about him. He listens to Bob Marley, so we know that he's mellow. Like, that's something that's really, really nice and really, really good from Cam Smith. Eric brings up a good point on YouTube. If the Astros were in a playoff race, Springer would have come up, in my opinion. It is not an apples-to-apples comparison, comparing George Springer's – it wasn't even his rookie year, but that first year where he came up, 2014 to 2025, because the Astros are in much different like spots. Like, they were a team that lost 92 games that year. We're expecting them to contend, if not win, the AL West this year. So it is a bit of an apples-to-orange comparison. Another texter says, I'd rather have Cam now with Yordan, Altuve, good pitching, a team that can contend. We don't know what the future holds. Here's the thing, though. You can have both. Like, you wait to the summer, then you call up Cam, you get the additional year, and you still have Cam with those guys. You still have Cam with the 2025 Astros. So it's not even sacrificing the full year. It's sacrificing 3 months to gain an additional year of club control. Would you sacrifice 3 months of Cam Smith, who's played five games above the single A level, for an extra year of club control? How is the answer to that not yes? Yeah,
exactly. That's the biggest thing. You can still have him this year. You can have your cake and eat it too. He can still contribute to this club. Nothing is going to be decided in April. Or, you know, in May, to where, you know, you could still find a way, if you need him, to get him here. But look, let's be smart all the way around. And for all the things that we just mentioned, realize that there is no big rush. This team still has enough talent, and they should have enough offensive talent to where they can make it work until there's a time for him to be called up.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN, texture. Remember when everyone thought Correa was going to be the next A-Rod? Yeah, I did. He was still a good player, but he did Carlos Correa live up to his hype? Probably not. Probably not.
Well, but yeah, but again, I think sometimes you have to also kind of factor in that they were trying to save some money in when they took Correa too, because there was options at the number one overall pick.
And Brian Buxton.
Yeah, but part of the reason why that they made the pick with Correa was he was willing to work with them to get the contract done at a more favorable rate for them.
Sure, but he was still a very highly touted prospect.
Oh, yeah, he was.
People thought that Carlos Correa, just because he did business to go number one as opposed to like number three or four, he was a highly touted prospect that people were putting that A-Rod label on him. They thought he had top shortstop in the game potential. They thought he was going to be an MVP winner. He finished fifth in MVP his last year in Houston, 17th in MVP in his third year. He finished 24th in MVP in his rookie year in 15. Did Carlos Correa live up to the hype? I don't think that he did. And Carlos Correa was my favorite player. Carlos Correa is still very, very good. Was he as good as the hype? I have to go no. I have to go no on that.
I think it was close. I think the fact that he was such a key contributor in so many ways to this golden era, I would say it was close. I was because, again, it could go south. We've seen a lot of high picks that have failed. So I would say it was closer than that. I think that he was close to living up to expectations.
That's an interesting question. I'm curious what the hype thinks. 713-780-3776. Cam Smith, when is too soon to call him up? Maybe you're already on that train. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
713-780-ESPN. Hopefully Cam turns into Gunnar Henderson. See, this is the stuff I'm a little uncomfortable with. Start making these comps, like anybody comping them to Albert Pujols after a few spring training games. Caleb, I agree with you. Brad, I'm all the hype around. Cam Smith needs to cool down. We don't know diddly squat about what kind of big league player he'll be yet. Whenever you hear people that know the game, though, like, you know, Blank and Branham. No, I'm just kidding. Like, you hear players, like, people talk about Cam Smith, and they do think very highly of him. But there have been tons of prospects where the talking heads think highly of a guy, and he just never lives up to the hype. Not saying he won't do that. Not saying he won't do that, because I would bet that he has a good career. But it is within the realm of possibility that he doesn't.
It's definitely in the possibility. It's in the realm of possibilities. And we know this. We've seen this. We've seen the Mark Appels of the world. We've seen top draft picks and guys that when their top draft picks get moved, and there's plenty of guys that you can point to and say they never reached their full potential. They never panned out. Some hopefully at least are serviceable and a little better major league players. But it's possible. It absolutely is. And, you know, thankfully, because of the fact that it was such a big trade for the Astros, trading away a guy like Kyle Tucker, thankfully, aside from just the years of service that you acquired in the deal, it looks like you have the potential to get a guy that might be kind of one of your cornerstones in the future.
Yeah, yeah. Hopefully that is the case. 713-780-ESPN. Eric on YouTube says he loves the show. Come on, Eric.
Thank you, Eric.
Keep the compliments to yourself, man. Like, we don't need our tails kissed. Texter, 713-780-3776. I would rather see him go down for 3 months and see what he does than to have him start in the bigs and see what he can't do. Adam Spolane, which they took him down to spring training and then they sacked him. He had a conversation with Gavin Dickey, who's that minor league director. I forget his exact title, but he's the head of the minor leagues for the Astros. Spolane asked him about having a guy called up the bigs, and he said that their philosophy is that they feel comfortable calling up a guy when they think that he's just going to stick there for the rest of his career. Which, let's have the other side of this conversation, because every time we have a Cam Smith conversation, it's always about how great he is, right? And we all think he's going to be great. Don't get it twisted. But what if he goes through a Bregman slump? Mm-hmm. He's only played 5 games above single A. Now you're in a spot where you're thinking about sending him back down. So I reading the tea leaves on that, putting 2 to 2 together, I don't think that there's any chance that Cam Smith is on the opening day roster.
Yeah, and I think it goes back to kind of what I was referring to, which is you don't want to, as much as this has done a ton for his confidence and for the belief, not just from the fans, but from the organization and everybody else, not that they didn't already see the potential, that this kid has big things ahead of him. But what I was concerned with is if you do push him too fast, too quickly, and he doesn't succeed, what could that do to his psyche? What could that do to his confidence? What that could that do to the performance because of the fact that he's thinking too much? And we've seen guys that get to that point. And then the reality of, hey, a guy that maybe got promoted too quickly, but now you have to demote him. And now is he, you know, how does he handle that? And is he ticked off at the organization?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think that they're really worried about that.
The last part, right, that's way down the road if he gets mad at the organization. Because if you're not playing well, then your agent or somebody's going to have to give you the cold, hard truth. But the rest of it, we know confidence is a very, very, very valuable thing. And when you got it, you have a little extra. When you don't, you can screw up even more.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I didn't realize the cutoff was during the season. When exactly is the cutoff? It's an inexact science. They're called Super Fives. I think they're called Super Fives or Super ARB. Super ARB or Super Five. Forget the exact term. But basically, it's the top 18% of rookies have a year shaven off of their final year. So if he's one of the first 18% of rookies in a given season, then he hits arbitration and he hits free agency sooner. But if he's after that 18%, again, it's an inexact science. It's not the exact date. Usually they cut off somewhere in the summer. Usually like the average date somewhere around June, July. But it's really the top 18% of rookies. So if you hold him off to the summer, usually you're pretty safe there. But if you call him up before the summer, usually he's going to be one of those super 18, and he's going to hit arbitration a year early. He's going to hit free agency a year early. Now, the counterpoint to that is with the new CBA is that if he's up and he wins Rookie of the Year, then you get an additional draft pick at the end of the first round. They threw that in there trying to, you know, help service time manipulation. But I think I would play it safe and start him in the minors. Texter, it's not time. Need to see AA and AAA pitching daily. Yeah, I think that's true. Plus, let's see where the roster's at. Like, maybe he's playing some outfield, too. Like, I saw a couple of his ground balls at third base, and I don't know if he's a third baseman, by the way.
That's why I said when we had the conversation about we were all in agreement that he wasn't going to start the season with the big league club, that's why I said maybe he goes the path of guys in the past like Lo Profito, just from the standpoint of playing first base again, where they play him some significant innings in the outfield to see if he can play right field and become a guy because there's a spot of need, possibly, that he could be, you know, fast-tracked for that reason.
Like, I'm probably overreacting to a couple of spring training ground balls, but his lateral movement ain't great.
No. I thought the same thing. It's like, look, I know we were kind of on Paredes going at third base. You know, he's got to be quick. He's got to be agile and mobile. But when you look at him, I mean, they're calling this kid the aircraft carrier. He's a big mountain of a human being. You can't expect him to be, you know, diving all over the place and being rangy.
Yeah, I think he's a first baseman that's athletic enough to play third. He's athletic enough to play the corners. You would like him to play one of those spots because you'd like to reserve first base for, like, you know, another bat. I think his future is probably in the outfield, and then eventually it's at first base. Mm-hmm. Key from L.A., if he's good enough to make the opening day roster, then do it. Who else do the Astros have, and what do they got to lose? You are projected to finish third in the AOS. Key from L.A., you sit back and go root for the Angels, okay? They'll be in the cellar by May, all right? You keep the big league baseball talk to us here in Houston. Where Correa fell short of expectations is power. Never got to that 40-plus homer-type player. Injuries also played a part. Yeah, I thought he'd have more power, too. Joel is great. Jeremy's terrible. There you go. I appreciate you, 0612. Speaking my love language, that's what I like to hear. Hopefully, Cam Smith is less like the wheelhouse and more like the Killer Bees. We need him to stick around and actually be good. Come on now. We're not going to bang on the wheelhouse. 713-780-3776. And we don't like the Blankers likes the good text. I like the mean text. Texter actually said what happened to mean text. The suits upstairs didn't like it a whole lot. They're like, hey, the mean stuff. We don't like mean stuff on the air. The suits upstairs. Didn't Tucker struggle when they brought him up? I think he did. I don't know if he went back down to the minors. Did he go back down to the minors, Tucker? I think he did.
I don't recall. I know Bregman struggled his
Bregman
first
struggled
go up.
Did
they send him
mightily
down, though? Did they send him back to the minors, or did they let him play through it?
Bregman played through it.
Yeah, I don't think he got sent back down.
But he started off like, it was like 3 for 28 or something like
that.
I
think it was 1 for 29. Like,
but yeah, it was something pretty terrible.
But I think he stayed up. Yeah, I believe he did. It's hard to tell on probation.
I think I wanted Tucker sent down multiple times. I don't know if he ever did.
Did you ever want him traded for anybody?
I might have.
yeah, I don't remember. No, they did, because Tucker played in 28 games with the Astros in 18. That could have been a September call-up, though. And then he played in AAA, like, most of the next year. So I think he did go back and forth a little bit. I don't remember. That's too long ago. I barely remember what happened yesterday. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP, listener line. Let's get to who said it. Everybody, well, it's not everybody's favorite game. It's Brian's favorite game. That's next. It is the Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Guys, a minute for Allstate Siding and Windows. Look, tax time is here. When you get that refund, if you want to do something that upgrades your house, both in the appearance and the way that it looks with the curb appeal, but more importantly, the way that it works for you all year long by saving you money on your energy bills and basically conserving as much energy as possible, then I'm here to tell you about Allstate Siding and Windows, because they love ESPN listeners and they love taking care of them because they've been with us for a long time. They've been in Houston for over 50 years, and they want to be the company that you go to for siding, windows, doors, and so much more. So they're doing it again. 30% off of windows, $2,500 off of a siding job. And if you mention ESPN 97.5 and me or Lance, you're going to get an added bonus when you call them and when you do business with them. 832-204-1936. That's a free estimate. They come to you. They tell you all the ways they can help. They tell you with your architecture, the year that your house was built, these are the products that we offer that would be best suited for your casa and how that they are going to help you. And then you make the decisions from there. You may not choose to go with them at all, but the benefit is you don't have to worry about any money out of pocket if you don't. But if you do, they're going to take care of you every step of the way. You mentioned ESPN 97.5. You're going to get a little extra bonus on top of that. And you're going to get the best in the business when it comes to the products, but more importantly, the service and the expertise that comes with it. 832-204-1936. Set up that free consultation today. Check out all their products at AllstateSidingAndWindows.com.
ESPN 97.5.
It's now time for super producer Brian McDonald, a.k.a. Tremac.
I'm Groot.
To do his best to stump Joel and Jeremy.
Well, I'm stumped.
It's everyone's favorite segment.
Because everyone loves it.
Yeah, everyone loves it.
I know.
Right, exactly.
Yes. Yes.
Who said it?
He said it.
With the Killer Bees.
Likes this segment. Oh, we're back. 713-780-ESP if you want to play along. You want to give us some help, although we're not supposed to be on the text line. All right, Brian's going to give it to us, five quotes. He'll play those quotes. Killer Bees guess if who said it right. All right, let's get started,
you
Brian.
You sound so enthusiastic.
I hate this
every
game.
Week.
I hate this game. I have a sore throat, a little grumpy today.
What does the sore throat have to do with this segment?
Because I feel a little under the weather. When I'm a little under the weather, I'm a little bit more grumpy. So things that are, like, you know, I don't like as much, they become less tolerable.
Do you buy that, Joel?
Nope.
You don't buy that? That's a fact. When people are under the weather and they're not in good moods, things that normally wouldn't bother them but they don't really like them become more bothering.
I'd just like to commend Joel for being more of a gamer than you. Like, Joel's under the weather all the time. He still looks forward to this segment.
All the time?
Maybe much less when he loses, but he still looks forward to it.
I hate losing. Yes, I'm competitive.
I'm not sure anybody looks forward to this segment, Brian. I think you're overselling it, but let's go ahead.
Okay.
Quote one.
All right. Here we go. Quote number one. If Altuve can play left field, why can't Cam Smith play right? Like, give me the best hitters possible, okay? The defense can figure itself out. These, you know, if you play baseball at any level, you should be reasonably competent as a defensive player. I feel like outfield should not be that hard.
Sounds like someone that's never played, but...
it does sound like a little bit like a casual take, but it's not a bad one, though. I think it's a fine take. Plus, Cam Smith is capable of playing right. I think he played there in the Cape.
Paulie or Lance right off the top, but...
Yeah. That's kind of I was leaning more Lance, but I can certainly hear Paul there too.
Okay.
Yeah. So you call it. We always start with you because you're better at this game than me. I'm willing to admit that. Maybe because it's our desire to play it.
I don't know, man. One more time, Brian.
If Altuve can play left field, why can't Cam Smith play right? Like, give me the best hitters possible. Okay, the defense can figure itself out. These, you know, if you play baseball at any level, you should be reasonably competent as a defensive player. I feel like outfield should not be that hard.
Now, the one thing, Jeremy, that caught me is the okay, because that's a Granato staple. Otherwise, I hear Lance, and I could hear the casualness of Paul.
Your call.
I know it is. Wow. John.
If Altuve can play left field, why can't Cam Smith play right? Like, give me the best hitters possible, okay? The defense can figure itself out. These, you know, if you've played baseball at any level, you should be reasonably competent as a defensive player. I feel like outfield should not be that hard.
Is that edited funny? I thought it was a woman at first.
It was a little quick.
No, that's just the way Paul talks sometimes.
Play the first 3 seconds of that clip again.
If Altuve can play left field,
that sounds like a like an automated woman.
I thought you took it from the Boston the Gloss.
Is that Tuesday when they were at the golf tournament?
Yes, it was.
Okay, it's okay. I'm not losing my mind then. That's why it sounds a little different.
Yeah, exactly. All right, quote number two. Elvis would be mad dead by now. There's no chance he'd still be alive. That man does not look like somebody who would live to 90. He died when he died on a toilet, eating fried peanut butter sandwiches. That guy had death all over him.
Mad dead?
Is that Lance?
Would he say mad dead?
Well, who knows how Elvis died?
Everyone?
I think everyone knows Elvis is dead.
No, how he died.
I think everyone would. I think it's a pretty popular story.
I don't think Del would, and I don't think Paul would.
Oh, I disagree. I think Dell and Paul both know that he died eating a peanut butter and jelly sandwich on the toilet. Plus, there was a movie recently.
What a way to go, though, right?
The movie I'll get.
It's one of the happiest ways to go. I hope I die while I'm eating. Not anytime soon.
I can think of worse ways to go.
You'd rather meditate?
No. I'd like to be doing something I enjoy doing when I die.
Okay. Meditating, right?
So definitely not doing this show. Definitely not doing Who Said It.
There it is.
Oh, the show comment was... We're spot on too.
I was joking about the show comment. I was not joking about the segment comment. Who are you thinking?
I thought Lance.
Do it.
Lance.
Elvis would be like, Elvis would be mad dead by now.
He sounds high.
No chance he'd still be alive.
Is this golf
that man does
well?
Not look like somebody who had lived at 90.
I believe it was.
He
yeah.
died what when he died on a
check
toilet.
Our he sounds high.
Peanut butter sandwiches. That guy had death all over
like,
him.
Were these actually like, no, slowed this was down yesterday. And sped up? Like, play the first 3 seconds of that. Okay. He sounds high.
Elvis yeah. would Listen. Be like, Elvis would be mad dead.
Elvis would be like.
No chance he'd still be
he
alive.
He sounds hammered. Doesn't he? Elvis, we sound like a little Harry Carey.
Yeah, I can hear the Harry Carey there. Yeah. If the moon was made
check
of cheese.
The chick with the
what
swear.
Is wrong with our equipment?
Holy cow.
You got Paul sounding like Rachel Maddow, and you have Lance
well,
sounding
like
high.
Rachel Maddow.
All right, one for two. Good job, Blinkers, by the way. All right,
quote number three. I bet it's better for your mentals to hear D'Amico say swarm. Or to hear Liam Cohen say this.
Duval.
Which one's better for your mentals? I'm going to go with Swarm. Hearing him butcher and bastardize Duval and say it the wrong way, I think it could. I think it can't help.
I think it's Dell.
Really?
No, I don't. I don't know it's Dell. I hear a lot of Dell in there. And I could hear Dell using bastardize.
Oh, yeah. Pretty. You could. I was thinking Dell, Lance, or Paul, but if you feel strong about Dell, let's do it.
I don't know that I feel strong. I heard Dell, and the other one would be Paul.
If you feel stronger about Dell than Paul or Lance, let's do it.
Do you want it again?
Sure.
I bet it's better for your mentals to hear D'Amico say swarm, or to hear Liam Cohen say this.
Duval.
Which one's better for your mentals? I'm going to go with swarm. Hearing him butcher and bastardize Duval and say it the wrong way. I think it could. I think it can't help.
I think it's Dell.
All right.
I bet it's better for your mentals to hear D'Amico say swarm or to hear Liam Cohen say this.
Duval.
Which one's better for your mentals? I'm going to go with swarm.
All right.
I think it's a great take. Like, I couldn't play for a coach that went Duval.
Yeah, that was obviously in regards to Christian Kirk. If you hadn't figured it out, but Dell was just talking about like if he's going to be in a better mental place now.
Do you want to run through a wall for that guy?
No, absolutely
Duval.
Not.
Duval.
You know what creeped me out about that little clip too? His eyebrows. Man.
Yes.
His eyebrows are like moving up and down like somebody's reading a heartbeat
like,
on a little computer.
They're like
you know
Adam,
I mean?
Adam Gaze's eyes.
It's crazy.
Yeah,
it's
like you're different type of creepy, but yeah.
Yeah, because Adam Gaze's eyes were really creepy.
Yeah, Adam Gaze was something
His
else.
Eyebrows creep me out.
All right, quote number four for the win. Well, I mean, they've been wearing slides with socks. That's kind of, but now it's like a Birkenstock sandals with socks. Like they just, it's weak as ice water. This is a thing that they aspire to. That's why they can't get laid. I'm just being real.
I mean, it screams Paul.
I was thinking Paul or Lance.
Okay.
Read it again, please, sir.
All right. Well, I mean, they've been wearing slides with socks. That's kind of... but now it's like a Birkenstock sandals with socks. Like, they just... It's weak as ice water. This is the thing that they aspire to. That is, that's why they can't get laid. I'm just being real.
Who's doing that? What's this in context to? Who's wearing Birkenstocks? Does Paul know what Birkenstocks
Sam?
Are?
Birkenstocks are making another comeback, unfortunately.
So who wears Birkenstocks?
Samantha
with
here
socks?
At our station does.
Really?
Yep. Huh. Who says weak is ice water?
Anybody.
Do they? I don't think Dell or Paul do.
Okay. So that would push you towards Lance.
Yep.
I'm cool with that.
Let's go.
Well, I mean, they've been wearing slides with socks. But now it's like Birkenstock sandals with socks. Like, it's weak as ice water.
I would like to point out
that they aspire to.
How great I've been at this game today.
That's why they can't get laid. Just being real.
You know who I feel like? I feel like Jalen Green last night, just dishing out assists.
Just going triple single and passing the ball.
Not shooting at all.
As good as you.
Involved.
You were as good at that as you were drinking out of that mug at the start of this segment?
Did you notice that?
I did. I saw the facial expression.
Oh, no, I missed that one.
Oh, the facial expression was priceless.
He dribbled a little bit.
I have a drinking problem.
Keeping it in your mouth?
Yeah, hitting my face.
All right.
Number five.
All right, let's see if you guys go four for five today. All right, quote five. To be fair, she was responsible for that death. Move your ass over and let Jack get on too. And then you come back years later and throw that stupid jewel into the sea and meet Jack again?
What?
The Titanic.
Oh. I have no... I never saw the movie. And I don't know... I don't know anything about it.
And what was her name? I forget the actual...
Rose. Rose?
Yeah, like Rose had Rose. Like a piece of... It wasn't even a full like ship, was there a boat?
No, it was just like a...
Wooden board?
No, it's like a door. Like a door going into a room, yeah.
Yeah, and then she like laid on it and like didn't let Jack on the board. And then people have like
he like falls off and dies. Yeah.
And then people have like reinvented the door. Like, you could fit 5 people here. And they have like TikToks with like all the ways you could fit multiple people on this big door. And Rose just let them die in the frigid ocean after the Titanic struck the iceberg. Iceberg. What are you thinking here, Blinkers?
Well, I think
I think it's like Paul, probably.
I was going to say Del or Paul, but...
Doesn't matter.
Because Del talks about it in a lot of movies and stuff with both... He has Michael on, and then he also talks...
But maybe Paul, he's trying to throw us off there, though. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't. Let's go Pauly.
Yeah.
To be fair, she was.
That's how much of a heater you were on.
Oh,
move your ass over.
Have you seen? There's this one place. You can turn off Dale. There's this one place where they have like how cold the water is, and they have people stick their hand in the water and like to give you an idea of what the water was like that night when the Titanic fatally struck the iceberg in the middle of the ocean. And people can't do it for like more than like 30 seconds. That's how cold the water was.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm. The more you know.
Good job today, Blinkers. Way to lift us and carry us. You were like Kerr. I was like Jordan, passing the ball, letting Steve Kerr hit some game
winners.
Kerr
had value, though.
He did. Yeah. But I still wouldn't be happy.
I was trying to get to, yes. Give Kerr a little nod.
That was a nice loft ball there. Look at that. Look at that chemistry. And they say we don't have chemistry. All right, NFL, top stuff going on around the league. What are the Browns doing with Myles Garrett? Trey Hendrickson? What are they going to do with him? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
This is ESPN 97.5, brought to you by Zada Jewelers, KFNC, and 97.9 HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.